You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to continue conversations with our missionary friends today. I'm excited because they've been having meetings in the building. So this is the second time we get to sit down with missionaries. Mm-hmm. And today we get to talk with missionaries who have been serving the Lord in the Kingdom of Cambodia. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul by visiting csp.edu. Joining us in studio, the Reverend Dr. JP and Amy Sima, who are serving the Lord in the Kingdom of Cambodia. Simas, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
I think it's been a while since we've had a chance to sit down, but we did get to sit down and talk in the studio in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys had a lovely Christmas greeting as well. You shared with our listeners this last Christmas
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for making time for us while you're in all these meetings. I know you have a lot of meetings while you're here. So thanks for making time for The Coffee Hour. We love it. And we love hearing your stories. Briefly, let's revisit your path to serving the Lord in Cambodia, how the Lord brought you there.
So I got the international bug when I studied abroad in Japan. Went there a couple of times for a short-term exchange in high school, then spent a semester in Japan studying at Tokyo International University. So that gave me the bug for living internationally. And then the Lord kind of got a hold of my heart and put me on a different path towards church work. So I was at the seminary in St. Louis, and we were having drinks with a good friend who had just come off the field in Japan, LCMS missionary in Japan, and having that conversation with her about my time in Japan, her time in Japan. We talked for, I think, 2 hours straight that night. Went back to my wife and I said, Amy, what do you think about, you know, mission work in some part of the world? She's like, well, yeah, we've talked about that. You know, after we retire sometime, maybe we could do some medical missions. And I said, well, what do you think about actually doing mission work right after seminary? She's like, I think I can speak for her when I say that she had this, you know, sort of the white picket fence. We're going to go in a parish somewhere and just do, you know, parish ministry somewhere in the United States. And so I left it at that. But then a couple of months later, she came back and said, well, you know what? I've been thinking and praying. Maybe we should explore this. So we grabbed whatever missionaries we could find and asked them lots and lots of questions, and eventually got on what was called the mission track at that time for missionary service overseas. And the rest, as they say, is history.
How long have you been on the mission field in general?
18 years in September.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
That's something.
That is. Also, they still look as young as when we went out. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Listeners should not believe what you just said.
And then how long have you been in Cambodia?
We've been in Cambodia for almost 7 years.
That's amazing. I feel like you guys just arrived there, but that was 7 years ago that happened.
We have the same problems.
I remember this conversation when you arrived in Cambodia, and that was 7 years ago. What's been going on with your family then recently?
Yeah, so our oldest daughter just graduated from high school and will begin university this fall in Virginia. We're really thrilled that she'll be living with JP's mom and have a congregation nearby that she has been connected to since she was young when we come back to visit. Our second daughter will return to Cambodia with us and start her junior year in high school. And then our youngest, Isaac, will be going into third grade.
You've been in Cambodia now for 7 years. What are some things that you've been learning about the culture? You've had a good chance to like learn the culture since you've been there. What are some fun things that you've been learning about life in Cambodia and culture there?
Mm-hmm. Cambodian people really value peace and harmony. I think it comes out of a really rocky history and conflict and the Khmer Rouge. And so Cambodians value peace and harmony. We have had to adjust some of our mannerisms because we might come into a room kind of in a more boisterous way, but Cambodian people are kind of more like quiet and respectful. So that's been a learning adjustment for us.
How does that work for an extrovert?
Yeah. I think we just have to use a more gentle and mm-hmm. calm demeanor. You can still like people. You just have to tone it down a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cambodians, it's almost a physical reaction. They make themselves smaller when they speak. in other parts of Asia where we've served, when people speak, they tend to make themselves larger, whether they stand up or they point. You might even think people are arguing when they're just discussing. But for Cambodians, they make themselves physically smaller, volume goes down, all of those adjustments to communicate a base humility. And that's been an adjustment because Amy and I, both of us, I think, have larger personalities. Is the nice way to say that.
Yeah. 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 I would struggle with that quite a bit too. Tell us what both of you get to do in Cambodia. What kind of work do you get to do on a daily basis?
We have just the great joy of walking alongside the Cambodia Lutheran Church, which is a collection of about 25 or so congregations throughout the country who are trying to share Jesus in word and in deed with the people around them. Cambodia is a country where 98% of the population is Buddhist. And so most people don't know about Jesus. And so Christians are in quite a minority. And so reaching out with the gospel is difficult. To be Cambodian is to be Buddhist. Mm-hmm. And so to be Christian, it's perceived as almost to be foreign or, you know, un-Cambodian. So Christians in Cambodia really face an uphill battle. So we're trying to come alongside them, whether it's building biblical or theological literacy. I travel to the provinces and I teach scripture, teach a small catechism, whether it be trying to boost capacity in youth. We spend quite a bit of time working with youth, both in the capital city in Phnom Penh. We have a youth group that meets at our house on Saturday nights for food and for fellowship and for study of God's word. But then also trying to focus on youth, not just in the cities, but in the rural areas as well. So one of the great things that we got a chance to do this past fall, we gathered youth from all over the country, 110 youth from many different provinces of Cambodia, to one place for the first ever national youth gathering of the Cambodia Lutheran Church. It was a wonderful event. It was co-sponsored by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, also the Lutheran Church Canada, and the Garuna Foundation, an RSO. And these organizations enabled the Cambodia Lutheran Church then to gather all these kids who spent a half of each day in intentional Bible study, and then a half day, you know, doing fun activities that connected with the Bible lessons, all with the goal of just building a kind of a community of Lutheran youth, building their capacity with scripture, and hoping to make connections across provincial boundaries. It was a great event. And I think the win was not only just that the event happened and the benefits that the youth received, but also the capacity that the Cambodian Lutheran Church showed in planning and implementing that event. We were really, really excited to see how well it went off and their very capable leadership.
What was your role in the youth camp?
So a couple of things. The Cambodia Lutheran Church asked me to plan the curriculum for the teaching, the scripture teaching that happened. So I got to plan lessons. We basically studied the book of Ephesians in four words. Dead, we are dead in sin. Sit, or seated, we are seated with Christ. Walk, we walk in love. And stand, we stand against Satan and his ways. It's actually building off of the work of a Chinese Christian named Watchman Nee. So that went really, really well. I got to teach a couple of those sessions alongside of other leaders from the Cambodian Lutheran Church who led sessions. And then also, we got connected with a visiting group from Brookfield Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin, a longtime supporting congregation of our family. And they said, well, how can we help? We said, well, could you come out and help lead these activities that connect to each Bible lesson? So they planned out all these activities and then led these 110 kids through lots of just really fun activities. And then they were also very generous to raise support so that each participant received their very own Bible, which for many of them, it was their first copy they'd ever received of a Bible. So that was really fun.
Yeah. Amy, what do you get to do on a daily basis?
Yes. Well, as a missionary wife and mom, it is a kind of varied role. Officially, I serve as the coordinator for care and development for the Asia region, which means supporting Asia missionaries and their families through transitions and the various needs that they experience. But in Cambodia also, it is through showing mercy in rural churches by teaching health and hygiene, through showing hospitality. I co-lead a women's Bible study every week and help with cooking dinner for the youth group, teaching Sunday school at our local congregation, and also reaching out in witness and mercy to our neighbors.
What does that look like? Do you have stories or people that you've met through all of the things that you get to do and all of the different opportunities you have? Any stories or people that you've met that really stand out to you?
Mm-hmm. I often have opportunity to connect with other moms through our children's school and meet quite frequently for lunch or coffee and just listen to their stories. One of the moms who is a classmate of our youngest son, her mother, she and I have been meeting for a while, and she has heard the gospel because her daughter has brought home Bible stories from school. And so she and I have had a chance to meet and talk through some of the questions. But her husband is deeply Buddhist and really opposed to the idea of her or her daughter being baptized. But I've been able to connect her with some resources online so that she can grow in her understanding, to hear God's word, to be in fellowship together, even though she's still in a family culture that is very restrictive.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Reverend Dr. JP and Amy Seema. They're serving the Lord in the Kingdom of Cambodia. We'll get more of their story in just a moment right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. JP and Amy Seema. They're serving the Lord in the Kingdom of Cambodia. Getting an update from them on the Lord's work in Cambodia. Now, there was a slight difference in the introduction than from the last time that we introduced you. There's now a doctor in front of that, JP.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that process.
It was a long one. I can tell you that. Yeah, 7.5 years of a lot of work, but a lot of learning. I was very fortunate to be encouraged by the Office of International Mission to pursue that work. And I always had an interest in a topic that's very specific to Asia, that in many Asian countries, the base form of spirituality is engaging with the ancestors, some kind of ancestral veneration. Some people call it ancestor worship. And what I've noticed is that Christians respond in different ways to those practices. In the case of Roman Catholics, at least in the last century or so, they've had a more permissive posture towards those ancestral veneration rituals. Meanwhile, Protestants have taken a more rejectionist stance, saying it's not appropriate for Christians to engage in those. And what I noticed is that both of those answers were based on kind of assumed or oversimplified understandings of what these ancestral veneration rituals actually mean. And so my dissertation was focused on interviewing non-Christian practitioners of these rituals to ask them, what does this mean to you? So that we can understand more clearly the meaning, and not just a single meaning, but the plurality of meanings that people are making of these rituals, so that when Christians respond, they respond in a more nuanced, compassionate, contextual, and faithful way for the sake of Christian mission.
What are some of the most interesting things that you learned through that process and through interviewing people about ancestral worship?
Yeah, precisely that the meaning of these rituals is not singular. It is, there are many meanings that are happening. So when somebody engages in ancestral veneration, it's not only religious or it's not only a social or civil act. It's both of those and many more things at the same time. And that means that if we're really going to respond in a compassionate way, we need to listen to people first. We need to understand at a base level their heart and how they're engaging the ancestors. And actually, I reference Luther quite a bit in this regard. Luther's insight into the nature of idolatry is brilliant. He said that it's the heart that makes an idol. He teaches this in the Large Catechism. And so what are people thinking about ancestors at a heart level? We need to probe that. And so I actually argue then for a pastoral approach to the issue that starts with listening to people, understanding where they're at, and then applying God's truth to those specific people.
Amy, I understand there was also a conference that you were involved in as well. Tell us about that.
Yes. In May in Cambodia, we worked with the Cambodia Lutheran Church to plan and organize a deaconess conference. So in Cambodia, many women have been trained through the Luther Institute of Southeast Asia. It is a theological formation program that was developed by Garuna Foundation and has trained many women for deaconess service, but they are scattered around the country in different provinces. And the leader of the deaconesses has for many years desired to gather everyone together for fellowship and encouragement and teaching. So we were able to invite Jeline Hauser, who is the president of the Concordia Deaconess Foundation Concordia Deaconess Conference, to come and facilitate some teaching on the theology of mercy and to bring all of the women together for fellowship and worship together and to go back to their congregations and homes encouraged and equipped to continue in their service.
What does mercy work look like across Cambodia? You mentioned a lot of these women serve in more rural areas. What is the work that these women are doing? What does that look like for them?
Yes. So they really serve in some challenging areas where there's quite a lot of poverty, children who have sometimes been abandoned by parents who go to other countries to serve as migrant workers, people who are really meeting the least of these, widows and elderly who don't have family to take care of them. So the deaconesses really serve as the hands and feet of Jesus in those communities. In many of the congregations, they also have maybe one pastor who travels to several congregations because there aren't enough pastors. So deaconesses often teach children, teach the Bible studies that happen during the week when the pastor is not available.
You've mentioned a number of groups that you partner with, that you serve alongside. Tell us more about some of the partners that you get to serve with in your role in Cambodia.
Yeah, it's really quite crucial in Cambodia. The work in Cambodia began through the work of many different organizations. I believe that Lutheran Hour Ministries was among the first on the ground, so to speak, to develop some connections. You have Lutheran Heritage Foundation, the Lutheran Church Canada. We're all a part of that early work in Cambodia and remain involved. And it's really a wonderful collaboration. The reality is that no one organization has all the resources or all the expertise, and yet we can bring our resources and our expertise to bear towards a common end. And I see that happening in Cambodia. For example, when I travel to the different provinces, I often travel with the director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation's office, a man named Sopa. And when we're going to teach the catechism, he also then takes the opportunity to pass out the Luther Small Catechism, which has been published by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, and then he passes out other resources. So this is a way where our interests align for the sake of God's kingdom in Cambodia. And so it's wonderful to see how those partnerships develop. I've done different sorts of events with Lutheran Hours ministry there. We've had partnerships with Garuna on various things. So those connections are very, very important.
What kind of resources are available for you in Cambodia? Because it's not, what kind of language resources and Lutheran materials do you have to work with the church in Cambodia?
Again, because of the work of Lutheran Heritage Foundation to translate so much over so many years, we're quite blessed, I will say. So we actually have the entire Book of Concord in Khmer. It's two very large volumes. It's the Concordia Reader's Edition. It's a wonderful resource. So I've been asked to teach that on numerous occasions. Of course, we've got Luther's Small Catechism as a separate volume in itself. But then a number of other resources, a Children's Garden of Bible Stories, Overcoming Pastoral Pitfalls, and there's others that I'm forgetting as well. Again, all put out by Lutheran Heritage Foundation. So we're able to draw on a number of resources, and that's very, very helpful for our work.
Yeah.
What are you reading these days?
You know, I have actually gone back to fiction because I just finished this degree. And so
I needed something light.
So I'm moving towards fiction. But actually, you know, a lot of the research that I was doing was focused in many ways on stuff that was happening in China and other parts of Asia. So I'm very anxious once we get back to Cambodia later this summer to dig into some books specific to Cambodia that I've actually had to put on the back burner while I was finishing this degree. So really dig into Cambodian Buddhism and how it's different from Buddhism in other parts of Asia, the kind of animistic core that makes up Cambodia's religious landscape. These are things I really want to dive into.
Yeah. Amy, what's on your... I follow your book posts on Facebook.
We have some common interests.
We do.
I really enjoy leadership. And in my role as care coordinator, I've also started reading more books about member care and families in transition, supporting children who have grown up overseas and are moving back to their home culture that they may or may not identify with. All of those kinds of resources that hopefully will help our missionary families to feel more equipped and supported.
What are some of the things you've learned reading about, especially the mission support, supporting kids as they move around? What are some of the interesting things you've learned?
I think a lot of it is around questions for discussion, because every child's experience is very different. So there's not one kind of formula or answer, but just in questions that help them process their experience, help them to think forward to what they're going to experience, and then to continue throughout their transition of moving countries and how they experience that, because it's so unique to the individual.
Yeah.
That's something very much on our heart as we launch our oldest daughter into life in the U.S. and her unique experiences as a, what we call a third culture kid.
Yeah.
There's a lot to wrestle with there. And so thinking through the questions to ask her and how to support her through this transition has been on the mind recently.
For sure.
Well, we have just a couple minutes left, and I think it's important that we get to this very sensitive but important topic, and that is the foods that you enjoy. I think we talked about this last time, and I can't remember what you described as favorite foods, but newest favorite foods while serving in Cambodia that you've learned to appreciate and maybe even love.
Well, I think it's a good way that you said that, learn to appreciate love. And so one does come to mind. They call durian the king of foods. Maybe you've heard of it. If not, durian is a very pungent fruit that's found in many Southeast Asian countries. And it's so pungent that it is forbidden to be brought on planes. Oftentimes, hotels will have signs that you're not allowed to bring durian into the hotel.
Oh, wow.
People have likened the smell to rotten onions.
Ooh.
Most Westerners do not enjoy durian, and I confess that the first time I had it, I thought it was terrible. It's very mushy fruit. It gets very messy when it gets on your hands, not to mention the smell and the taste. But you know what? After 18 years in in Asia, I have to say, I like durian.
Wow.
And that realization happened to me a couple of months ago. I was in Kampot on this farm of a Christian organization, and they were selling us durian at rock bottom prices. And they opened one up for us to try, and I got in there, and it was delicious. And I thought to myself, I've come a long way.
What does durian taste like?
How do you describe
it? Does it taste like a smell?
The rotting onion statement is not far off. It is like sweet on the palate, but on the finish, it is like, ooh, what was that?
That's so interesting.
It definitely stays. It stays with you for the day. That's for
really?
Sure.
So you can smell it all day then?
Oh, or if absolutely. You burp it up.
And it's, I mean, this is super popular in Asia, right? So you've got durian ice cream.
I was just going to ask
durian flavored snacks.
Durian
it's
cakes.
Everywhere. Durian cakes, all of it.
That's so interesting.
Durian candy.
Oh, yeah. Durian candy, sure.
All the things.
Wow. You have to try it.
You're missing out, Sarah.
Yes,
you haven't
apparently.
Tried it yet.
I have some next time. If you can get it on the plane.
Yeah. Saying, you can't get it on the plane.
I think you're going to have to come to see us.
We'll have to go to Cambodia.
Durian candy.
Yeah, wow. There you go. Yeah.
If you ever come to see us, and I hope you will, and this is for you too, and also for all those listening, come and see us in Cambodia, and we will give you a fruit that tastes like rotten onions.
The king of fruits.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, that's an invitation that's hard to pass up.
It's true. If you go on the road.
How can we stay?
Oh, Amy's favorite food.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, we got on durian.
Yeah, it's not durian. I am less adventurous than JP, but I think there's so many wonderful dishes in Cambodia. Maybe fish or some of the soups. Mm-hmm. So we often have at our youth group Som La Khmai, which is a kind of green soup with lemongrass and Ooh. Fish, and you eat it with noodles and herbs. So I would say that's probably one of my favorites. I play it safe.
That sounds really good.
It's delicious.
That does sound
I might great. Have to make that. I can eat that.
See, the problem with talking about food with our missionary friends is then I'm hungry for like exotic dishes like this. Yeah.
Well, we're recording in the afternoon, so it's snack time.
Thank you both for spending the time with us. How can we stay informed on the Lord's work with the Sima family in Cambodia?
We have a photo blog. You're welcome to visit that. That's www.simafam.com. You can also find us at www.lcms.org/CIMA. So we'd love to keep in touch with you then via those means. But you can also, on either of those websites, find a place to sign up for our newsletter, which we send every month. So we'd love to stay connected.
With some great photos, too, I've seen from time to time.
Photos, videos,
fantastic.
All of it.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. JP and Amy Sima, serving the Lord in the Kingdom of Cambodia. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
You can learn more about serving internationally by visiting servenow.lcms.org. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.